Well, you all may be wondering, why is that girl that isn't even legally an adult standing up there about to talk to us about vocation? Well, if you want to know for sure, you'll have to ask Ashen. I don't really know. I think I do, but, and I hope I'm right. It's because that I'm at that stage in life where I'm just starting to figure out what my vocation would be. There are a lot of questions that keep coming up. What if, in the long run, I find that I don't enjoy it as much? What if it's too risky and I have to settle for way less than what I wanted? What if, in a few years, I'm just completely miserable? I need to decide now, or at least relatively soon, if following a dream is worth the risk. And honestly, I don't have any idea how I'm supposed to figure that out. I have my whole life ahead of me, but I can't tell if that's a good thing. I can't really get a specialized job until I'm either close to or have already graduated college. And then I don't know if I'll even get one, especially since the fields I want to go into are so competitive. I'm up at night wondering what I'll do when I get to college, or after. Am I willing to move halfway across the country just to have a better chance at a career that I want? Will I be able to support myself or a family? It all just makes me want to fast forward a few years. But that's not how life works. There is that whole cheesy thing about it. It's the journey that counts, not the destination. I'm just not entirely sure I'm ready to go on that journey just yet. And I've got about 2 months to figure it out. I'm honestly the most scared I've been in a while. I want to be able to handle myself financially, but I don't want to just quit fighting for a possibly hopeless dream and go with a backup plan that I won't take as much pleasure in. I need to even be figuring this out now as I make my college decision. Should I go to a college specific to my dream career, but not necessarily provide me with a backup plan? Or do I go to a school that will allow me to do the same thing, but not as in depth, and isn't known as much for their program, but would provide me with a strong alternative career should I need it? I'm at a crossroads with my vocation, and I just have to have faith that I'll end up where I need to be.
I have the privilege of being 40 plus, so I have to take these glasses off to... Listen to my son. I'll get it. Excellent. When silence speaks loudest, I did not hear a voice with a blinding light like Paul. Instead, I encountered a slender, sanctified silence that somehow spoke without speaking to the yawning, nagging abyss at the center of my nervous system. Externally, I had a healthy marriage with healthy children. I was the embodiment of the heteronormative Bermudian dream. I had made it. Why then was this experience so anticlimactic? I felt cheated. I felt duped. I wasn't even excited. I discovered that I was afflicted with a problem that has no name. I became my own aporia. My material success wasn't enough to feed the insatiable beast, the hole in my soul. It was then, beckoning from beyond the horizon, that I heard a faint, almost inaudible voice of slender, sanctified silence, and I became convicted of the need to change direction without a prior plan or destination. I had neither a GPS, map, or compass. I talked to Leandra, then I quit my speechwriting job with the Bermuda government. I cashed in my retirement, left Bermuda to attend Howard University School of Divinity in D.C. 3 years later, I stood in my graduation finery, and there it was again. This time it was more pregnant, more potent, more pressing than ever. The slender, sanctified silence was now screaming. How can I place my Manolo toe in that blonnet, Elte? My theological education had distanced me from the emotional and experiential and mystical aspects of my faith. The closest I came were the classes in pastoral care that led me to 5 units and 2,000 hours of clinical pastoral education and my first job as a hospital and then a hospice chaplain. My 10 years on the ambulance as an EMT in Bermuda had a conjugal visit with hospice chaplaincy, my new area of ministerial focus. It changed me, but 8 years later, that job disappeared into the ether. God, who am I called to be now? Today, especially since I've been unemployed for the last 5 years and counting, there are no savings, no security blanket, but there was an eviction, homelessness, housing insecurity, Chapter 7 bankruptcy, ruined credit, demonic IRS letters, and mounds of debt. There was also illness, hospitalizations, and medications with severe side effects. Did God call me to undergo all of that chaos to serve some grander purpose? I also have an incurable illness. How does that fit into the divine scheme for me? Meanwhile, Howard Divinity taught me that I am a master of divinity. Got the degree on my wall. But my experiences have shown me that that is pure henpecked hokum, fertilized in the manure of human hubris. The truth is actually the opposite. On May 9, 2009, I drank the Kool-Aid. I actually believed without question that I could be a master of divinity. But that is a lie from beneath hell's nadir. My experience has taught me that no one masters divinity. Divinity always masters us. Today, I see my ministry as faith dancing a merengue with purposefulness, hidden in the belly of a great, silent, unfathomable unknown. I remain grateful for slender, sanctified silences because they speak the loudest. However, I discovered much to my chagrin that I can only hear God's voice most clearly when I am not speaking. I serve at the pleasure of a God that Afro-Cuban artist Harmonia Rosales tells me is a black woman. This sable-skinned dreadlock divinity tells me, John Anthony, I love the sound of your dulcet baritone, but I love the sound of your voice even more when you shut up.
I found it very difficult to make the decision to retire because being an audiologist came out of a sense of vocation and a deep gladness that I could help people with hearing problems. But I also have had a strong sense of vocation outside my professional life for a long time. So I have been able to move into retirement with an equally strong sense of vocation in several other areas with less struggle than I had anticipated. I feel like sometimes my vocation comes from a place of deep sadness, such as when I hear about wildfires and floods that result in people losing their homes or lives, or of deep outrage, such as when I learn of young children, of refugees being taken from their parents and put in cages. Still, I feel I can use that sadness and that outrage in acting to meet the world's deep need, such as through the Poor People's Campaign demonstrations or Grandmothers for Peace vigils. Thankfully, I also have a strong sense of vocation that comes from my deep gladness when I'm able to garden without using chemicals and grow flowers whose beauty I can share with others, even when I have to pick them in the rain. Or prepare food with herbs I grow that others can enjoy, or have garden parties. I believe that is meeting a need. Or when I find joy in spending time with my grandchildren, that motivates me to work hard to reverse global warming, or feel able to choose being a vegan that helps combat global warming, or passionately write a letter to the editor. I have faith that what I am doing, along with the efforts of many, many others, is having a positive effect. In 1989, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. That was a difficult time of facing my mortality, and I feel so grateful to have survived. So every day of just being alive is a source of deep gladness for me. And I view every day as an opportunity to do something significant in the world, even if it's something really small. I believe music has great power. So my pleasure in being able to sing in the choir and lead my Grandmothers for Peace in peace songs is important to me and hopefully meets a need in the world. My Grandmothers for Peace group is going to be singing peace songs in the Lake Harriet Peace Garden on September 30th as part of the 10 Days Free from Violence being organized by Twin Cities Nonviolent. I didn't get in touch with my attraction to women until I was in my 40s, but coming out as a lesbian was liberating to me because it gave me the courage to get out of a bad marriage. And out of that deep gladness of being a lesbian came a book of affirmations for lesbians and gay men that I wrote, and I hope that that has helped some lesbians and gay men in their deep need for affirmation. Two other sources of vocation are my nature photography, which delights me in being able to share the beauty of our precious earth with others, and the great fun I have making catnip cat toys to bring happiness to the cats of the world. So I'm sure you can see why I feel very blessed to have so many parts of my life that comprise my vocation. They help me sense my connectedness with the world and all of life, and are helping me deal with the ending of my vocation in audiology as I adjust to this new stage of my life in retirement.
A baby. And just last month, we moved into my childhood home to play a different kind of support role with my mom as her life with Parkinson's disease progresses. One of my favorite things these days is watching the way both of them, our baby and my mom, light up in each other's presence. Just last night, we got home from being away for a few days, and August just about jumped out of my arms as she clapped and giggled and waved upon seeing her Grammy. And her Grammy was equally delighted. These moments are the glue for me these days, because there are a lot of hard moments, too. I wrote these words surrounded by still unpacked boxes in my home office. Negotiating a new normal of daily life as an adult in my childhood home without regressing to teenage tactics is a spiritual practice. Figuring out how to care for the humans I love most in the world as they have ever-evolving needs is an emotional roller coaster ride. And then there are my body's needs. I've been really, really sick twice since we moved. My body is yelling for my attention in the only language that seems to get my attention and actually stop me. which leads me to vocation, and probably why I said vacation earlier. I have been in a knot about my vocation recently, and I've been having a bit of an identity crisis. I am a pastor. My ministry is about building God's realm of love and justice and wholeness here and now. How in the world do I be a mom and a wife and a daughter too? Why do these parts of me feel like they're in competition with each other? Love is not finite like pie. But it turns out my time and my energy are finite like pie. So I had a breakthrough this week when I was traveling for my consulting work. My family is not in competition with my vocation. My family is a part of my vocation. Vocation is the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need, says Frederick Buechner. The way I understand what world means in this sentence has to change. The world is no longer only large-scale earth, country, community, city. The world has to start, my world has to start with my family. Vocation is the place where my deep gladness meets my family's deep needs. And then my community's needs, and wider and wider. I have no idea how to do this. But at least it makes me feel more okay just to understand myself and call my vocation in this language this way. The last time I lived in the house I'm living in, when I was a teenager, I came across this quote that gave me so much peace around that not knowing. And in particular, not knowing around what in the world I wanted to do with my life. So I'm returning to that quote again now, in that same place, and finding some calm in it again. It's from the Austrian poet and novelist Rainer Maria Rilke. So I hope whatever is gnawing on you, whatever questions are circling around for you, there is peace here also. Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves. Like locked rooms, like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue. Do not seek the answers, which cannot be given to you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without even noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Amen. I don't get applause. Come on, guys.